Greetings from Costa Rica. I'm Teddy, the three-toed sloth, and you're about to listen to an episode of The Podestrians, in which Hector and Krish talk to Daniel Lewis and Sridhar Ramesh. Did you know that a three-toed sloth should actually be called a three-fingered sloth? I did. Fun fact. You can hear The Podestrians live on October 13th, 2017 at 2081 Mission Street. Bring your friends. Thank you. Enjoy.
Check, check, check,
check,
check,
check, check,
check, check, check, check, check,
me, Sridhar Ramesh.
Welcome to the Ramesh. Podestrian me, Podcast. Ramesh. That's Krish.
And that's Hector.
We are here to talk to you with so much special information. We've changed so many things. We've changed so many things. But what hasn't changed is that we've actually brought on some people who were there at the inception.
At the inception of all of this.
Yeah.
Back when we were the Podestrians.
Back when we were the Podestrians.
Before a podcast.
Yeah, when we were just an inside joke.
Yes, when we were just an inside joke.
Now we're just a laughing stock. we have here with us today a very special guest, Dan Lewis.
Yep.
Hello.
And another guest.
Another guest.
Another very special guest.
Shut up.
Sure.
Sridhar Ramesh.
Yes.
Hello. Hello, Dan. Hello, Sridhar.
Yeah.
Hey, what would you like to know just off the bat?
Dan, this is a question that I've always wanted to ask you. Who did you vote for in our last presidential election?
I voted for Hillary Clinton.
Thank you.
You said that with like a lowered voice, so it almost sounds like you were embarrassed by your choice.
No, not at all.
Dan doesn't like to be on the losing side.
Yeah, I don't like to vote for a loser. I thought she was going to win.
You threw your vote away, Dan.
Yeah.
You threw it away.
I saw something recently that a lot of the base balls have been affected in some way. It was like a 538 article that I didn't actually click on.
Mm-hmm.
But something to the fact that all most base balls are juiced in some way so that...
they think that the ball is a little juiced this year, yeah.
Yeah.
What?
They just because if you look at the stats and start to look at they're very, very specific stats about launch angle of each hit and all this stuff. And if you have enough stats, you can sort of basically boil it down to it has to be the ball. So there's no other way that it could pop. They've broken the home run record yesterday.
But that's like saying like, oh, people are running faster now. And so it has to be that people are all on drugs. Like, you know, than they did.
Yeah, Roger Bannister had all of the watches that were timing his match juiced, and that's how he was able to break the form.
Yeah, I guess the question is, how do you know that they're not just taking these like really advanced steroids, the players?
Because they have exit velocity on the ball as well.
Okay.
They know the exit velocity of every hit and the angle.
From the pitch,
have that information.
Oh, because they know the force. Like they look at the video and they can actually calculate. Given how much force that was, what the impact was, what the momentum and everything.
But doesn't it matter on the swing speed?
They can measure that.
I think Dan is saying, if I'm following correctly, they can measure the force applied to the ball and see the trajectory that it takes and conclude that the ball has been tampered.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if a ball leaves
it... Sorry, I'm interrupting.
Sorry, no, you've got it.
I've got it. The swing speed
you
is...
You got it.
Right, the swing speed, though...
I got it.
The swing speed can be...
Let us explain this to you.
No, I got it.
Yeah, I think what you're trying to say is that the swing speed can be determined by how fast and how strong the player is, which... In turn, it would suggest then that the player is juiced and not the ball.
No, I'm saying that they know what speed the ball is traveling after it's hit the bat. It's no longer relevant how strong the player was who hit it once you have the speed after which it's hit.
Well, I guess there's also an assumption being made as to the mass of the bat, correct? Because if the bat has been affected in some way...
Right.
Or
so
altered,
now we're getting
like, you know, it's either the bat or the
we're
ball.
Getting, well, no, why do we need anything? The bat? Yeah, don't we get a direct measurement? I'm just going from what Dan has said. We get a direct measurement of the force applied to the ball... And then we see how the ball reacts to that force, and by that we conclude that the ball has been juiced.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Either.
By the way, when you thump on the table, it hits all over microphones.
Sorry. Yeah,
the force that you're applying to the table
is right. The table's been juiced.
The table's been juiced. By the way,
yeah. Oh, I see.
No more Hitler pounding the table as you talk. So
I think you're referring. Are you referring to Hitler? I guess he did do it.
I was referring very directly.
I want to say the part of the reason
I was thinking of who is it. Not Gorbachev. Who was the guy who said, "We will bury you"? Who was that guy?
It was Ivan
Khrushchev.
Drago.
Khrushchev.
Okay.
He had this thing in the UN where he banged the table with his shoe once and people made a big deal out of it.
I'm
you know
sure
I read
it was
about
Ivan
that
Drago.
The day, and in fact, they're not sure. There's like different accounts.
No, I know you can translate it. Is that
whether or not he was even holding a shoe. Like, it's not even
no,
decided.
No, the shoe thing is not... What? I thought there's a photo of the shoe thing.
They don't know if it... They don't know. I'm serious. I was reading it the other day. It was a little bit... There's more ambiguity about this than could seem possible.
I thought there was a photo of it. No?
I don't know.
Dude, a photo means nothing these days. Like, a photo means nothing these days.
That's true.
Right? Like, we can... Not only can we Photoshop things, We can make new videos. We can make people say things that they never said.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even in this recording. This has all been re-
hey,
it's all been done in post.
We can only wish. So Dan, I mean, part of the reason that we're so happy to have you on here, because you were, I mean, we've known you the longest.
Yeah.
What? I've known Krish for like 10 years.
No. We've known Dan the longest.
Do you ever really know a person?
I've actually known Krish for 11 years. Yeah. But no, you're right. I haven't known Krish or anyone, not even myself.
Okay, this I have a question for you, Sridhar.
Yeah.
Having known Krish for the longest, what was he like?
Oh,
11 years ago.
He was younger, you know, when I met him. Sorry,
back in those days, yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to be sincere for a second. I'm trying to think, was Krish notably different in any way 11 years ago?
I have my first recollection of Sridhar.
Oh, okay, yeah, what's that?
Sridhar, I invited...
We should just... sorry to interrupt, but we should just say for all the Sridhar heads out there, go ahead, grab a glass of wine, sit back, take your pants off. This is your time.
We want to hear those buckles hit the floor, people.
It's a broadcast. We'll never know. So I remember I invited two of my friends, Julie and Alex, over to my place, and they invited their friend Sridhar. And Sridhar walks in without making eye contact with me. He darts over to the fridge, and he takes a can of V8 out from the fridge.
I remember this.
Yes.
The moment you started telling this story.
And then he starts drinking it. And immediately, Julie and Alex start apologizing, saying, "I'm sorry, he should have asked permission." And then I think about him like, "Don't worry, the V8's expired." And then Sridhar immediately just starts coughing. And then Alex says, "Instant karma."
And then Sridhar goes on and finds the company Instant Karma.
Yes, that's correct.
That was you, right? Credit Karma?
That's
a credit thing, right?
What's that?
Instant Karma? Isn't it like a credit rating agency?
That's called Credit Karma.
Credit Karma, sorry. Yeah.
Take it back.
Yep.
That's John Lennon's song.
Instant Karma?
Yeah.
Instant Karma's going to get you.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
My first memory of that moment was just now.
Yeah,
you telling me
fantastic.
That. And that's an interesting. I would say that feels very relevant. It feels very much. It's very much in the vein of Sridhar. And I think that's the one thing that we. It's like a constant that you can look to. It's like Sridhar's. You make me feel stable. You make me feel secure, like you know what, like Orion's belt in the winter sky is like Sridhar coming in and reaching for that V8 juice.
Yeah, you can pretty much set your watch to it, that kind of thing. Can I tell you about the first time I met Sridhar?
Yeah,
he had stepped in on a improv class that I had. It was level 2 improv with Guillermo, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And he had, I think, missed his class. And, you know, at that time they said, you know, if you miss a class, see if you can get into the other one so that you don't miss a class. So you get the number of classes that you're going to get. For whatever reason, you were in one class of mine. And you were so assured and just, like, so confident in, like, all of your actions. And I really looked up to Streeter's, like, I don't know, I guess just his confidence, but the way that he went about his lines. He really said them with conviction. And I realized in retrospect that I had mistaken, like, an inability to control the volume of his voice and stuff like that for confidence.
Yeah.
Like, I know him now, and I realize that all of the myriad ways really in which he lacks confidence.
Yeah, I know.
It's funny, because it just shows to show you how long... how far you can go with, you know, just a megaphone and a dream.
I know. I had this experience recently at a party too. Somebody told me the first time they met me, they were super intimidated by me and all this stuff, and I never realized it. But it's just because,
can be very intimidating.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You do have a confidence about you that is.
Yeah.
I have a dichotomy. Like, I have a confidence when you don't know me, and then once you start to know me, I tell you all my insecurities.
Well, there's a loudness and a lack of understanding of propriety that can sometimes. come off as confidence.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone walks into a room and grabs a V8. It's just
room and grabs a V8 from a stranger's.
Oh, all right. Going back to that story, I remember for a while, Alan and Julia, for a while, they used to describe me as Rude Krish.
That's racist.
I know, it is. But we have some similarities in that we're both from New Jersey. I mean, apart from the racial thing of we are both a million Indians and everything, but we're both from New Jersey. We're
you
both
say
in
Mario?
I don't think Chris says Mario.
I say Mario. We've made this clear,
Yeah, but he's, like, not New Jersey born. Like, he's from, Ohio or something originally, was it?
Yeah, and aren't you from California originally?
Okay, it's true. I was born in California, but I moved to New Jersey before I have any memory.
I think the adage here is that everyone ends up in Jersey at some point.
Is that true? Were you in New Jersey?
New Jersey?
You know, I went to school in New York, and I would wander over into Jersey every so often.
Okay,
I think he's got a point. I once flew through Newark.
Yeah, okay. This level of ending up in New Jersey happens to a lot of people. It's the major airport for the largest city in the U.S. But
I think it's a truism that we can all agree on.
Yeah.
I forgot what I was saying. Anyway, there are similarities between me and Krish of some sort, but then I do think there's this difference of, this is what... you know, the false confidence of being rude I have in a way that Krish doesn't, I suppose.
Well, Sridhar, what about your first memory of meeting Sridhar?
Oh, my first memory of meeting Sridhar.
First moment of consciousness. Like you recognized you were you.
Actually, I've tried to go back and recall my oldest memories before, and I've noticed, though, this thing happens where I've told stories of old memories to people, and then later on, I realized in the future, I never remember them as directly. I just remember the telling of the story, which, of course, is the case with memories anyway. You're only really remembering your internal retellings. But now I'm remembering the way I described events to somebody years later. Mm-hmm. And it makes me sad to have lost direct access to some of these old memories.
Right.
So I'll tell you one memory that used to be a memory of mine that I can remember very sharply, and now I only remember the retelling is... once when I was very young, this is not an interesting memory, it's just an old memory, but once when I was very young, my parents, we will bury you.
We put Sridhar on his own channel.
You know, I have a memory of a time when Krish was asking Sridhar to not bang on the table.
Sridhar continued to bang on the table.
I somehow don't remember that directly, I just remember the retelling. Once when I was very young, my parents took me to the mall to buy a toy, and we went to this KB Toys that was in the mall, and there was on the display on the door, on the left and right of the door and above the door, these alternating yellow and red dump trucks. And I ended up getting a yellow dump truck, but for years and years I remembered this display in my head. There's nothing of significance to it, but I must have been 4 years old, and I remembered, you know, till I was like 23 or something, that... when I had gone as a child, there were these alternating yellow and red dump trucks. And then at one point, I was in a restaurant with my father and my sister, and for some reason, we were talking about old memories, and I mentioned this to them, and I had a very clear image in my mind. It's probably not really photorealistic to the event, but I had an image in my mind of these yellow and red dump trucks alternating around that door. But ever since I told them about that memory, now I can't bring that image to mind at all anymore. Mm. I just remember that I told them this once.
Oh, yeah.
And so now I feel sad. It's like the giver, you know? I've mentioned a memory to other people, and now I've lost it for myself.
No, they haven't. And maybe they can give it back to you one day or something.
No, I don't believe that's how it works in the Lois Lowry Newbery Award-winning story,
The giver. That is interesting how memory works like that. Like, you for a long time, you have, like... Because, I mean, like, memory really is, like, you're rewriting your... You know, every time you're, like, accessing that memory, you're rewriting that memory.
Right.
And then over time, as you, like, keep accessing that memory becomes less, like, the actual visceral moment. But now it's sort of the narrative, like... retelling of it. And so now all you can remember is the you telling.
Exactly. And I know it was already, you know, somewhat, you know, every memory is somewhat fake after years anyway, because you remember your internal retellings, but still the internal retelling has this kind of authority to it, or it feels more genuine than remembering some external retelling.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That reminds me of The World of Tomorrow.
Oh, I've not seen that.
Oh, it's a Don Hertzfeldt movie.
Oh, no, I have seen it. I've seen it with you, even.
Yeah, exactly.
I was thinking of... no wonder you gave me that look. I saw it even before.
A memory for Streeter.
Yeah, I saw it even before I saw it with you, but then I saw it with you again. But I was thinking of Sky Captain and Tomorrow or something when you said that right
now. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, go on.
I have seen. Mm-hmm. I've seen Sky Captain, The World of Tomorrow.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, what about The World of Tomorrow?
Oh, no, just the whole fact that it's about this person talking to a younger version of themselves.
Oh, right. Yeah. You've did I that. See that with you?
You probably saw that with me, too.
No, wait, where did we see it at the Embarcadero Theater?
No, I saw it with Trish at his place, at his apartment.
Yeah. You know, I saw it at the Embarcadero Theater with some other friend.
Oh, okay.
Dan, where were you when we saw this?
Yeah.
When we saw this movie?
I don't know. I think I was watching Kennedy be assassinated. I can't remember.
You were accessing the memory of where you were when Kennedy was
assassinated. Right, it's very grainy.
Yeah.
And the camera's moving a lot, and there's a guy with an umbrella.
Yeah.
And
all I remember. The day Ted Kennedy was assassinated.
Oh, no, too soon.
You know, I don't...
JFK's okay, but Ted Kennedy's too soon.
I don't have any. It's weird how because people are always talking about their memories when they were kids. I have hardly anything until about 8 or so.
Oh, interesting.
Wow. Like, I've got nothing. Yeah. And I think it might be maybe the drinking or something.
You started drinking when you were 8, and that's when your memory faculties kicked in.
Drinking real heavy.
Do you guys ever think, have you ever blacked out before from drinking?
Sure.
Yeah.
I've never blacked out. I never liked that from drinking.
That's when you put on a bunch of blackface when you're really drunk, right?
We went there.
Yeah. You know, that usually happens. That would be, I would have to be so drunk to do that it's after the point at which I actually pass out. So luckily I've never reached that point.
You know that thing that is a staple of college where, I don't know if you hang out with dumb people in college, but you get really drunk and then people like paint
dicks
on your face and whatever.
Oh,
right?
That's what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, we'd put blackface on people's faces when they passed out.
You know what I did in college I'd draw dicks all over my own face right before bed just to make sure that like they couldn't get me, you know?
Where everyone goes, oh man, this guy's crazy.
Yeah, they're like, we're not going to draw on this guy's face. He's nuts. Yeah.
Do you ever think that like when you black out, so you have no recollection of your blackouts, right?
No.
But when you black out, you go into that alternate dimension where you do have recollection of
all your previous blackouts.
Yeah, you're basically... You're accessing a different dimension when you black out.
Oh, it's like in Stranger Things. You're in that other...
You're on the other side.
That's what blackout is.
I've never seen Stranger Things.
Well, they're all drunk, basically. Okay. The idea. They go to this other... They're all drunk and listening to 80s music, and they go to this other place.
Yeah. Do you think that's what happens? Is it Stranger Things?
It really freaks me out, the whole thing. It's been a very long time, and I don't think it'll happen again, if I might be so bold.
Sorry, what won't happen again?
Blacking
out.
The idea of it is, it's inconceivable to me that I could even get remotely close to that now.
No, of course, because when you're young, I mean, I don't know I'm just generalizing from my own experience, but when you're young, there's this kind of attitude about drinking around you, where the goal is to get really drunk, really fast, really raucously. And then, exactly, you realize it's stupid. It doesn't make any sense. Like, why should you be flirting with vomiting every night. Yeah, why would that totally be a ridiculous. Fun thing to do?
Wait, what do you mean flirting with vomiting?
People are drinking in ways which basically guarantees that they will be spending.
You're saying,
large amounts.
like you're flirting with danger.
By the time,
I don't mean that you are actually flirting with women while vomiting. No.
Well, by the time you're flirting with vomiting, there's no women left to flirt with.
Yeah,
you're just going around going, oh,
yeah.
Hey, I did an angel from.
Now I'm way more adult about it now. Where like now I just. Drink myself slightly stupid and groggy under the guise of wine appreciation.
Right.
Sure. And like it's a phony thing.
Oh, this incidentally.
I never get that drunk.
This reminds me of I was trying to think when I was saying how has Chris changed over the last 11 mm-hmm. years. I couldn't come up with anything, but it reminds me. I was trying to think then how have I changed over the last 11 years. And I think the one significant change is that I used to get drunk. You know, I used to get really drunk a lot, and now I barely ever drink. Krish is probably the only person here who has experience with me being very drunk.
Which is fascinating, because I started drinking in the past 11 years.
Right, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so you are the kind of like the polite Krish. He's the rude Krish.
Krish has reclaimed the rude Krish mantle, you're saying?
No, what I mean is like people invite you over and like Shruther's always like, oh no, none for me, thanks.
Oh, is that rude now?
Yeah, you're rude.
I used to be rude and drunk at Krish's parties,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like the drunk rude Superman to his Superman. Like when Superman had the drunk Superman.
Is that a thing?
He got drunk and he stopped shaving.
No, when did this happen?
Don't you remember that? Is that Superman 2 or 3?
I mean, I've not seen any of that.
Well, Superman 2, evil Superman shows up, and he's
Superman 2 is the one with the mirror dimensions, right, where Zod comes.
Yeah, Zod, and it's Zod, and Superman stops shaving, and he gets drunk.
He like doesn't he go backpack? Doesn't he have like a backpack?
I don't remember what he does, but it's probably a bunch of like anti-Superman takes the bus and throws it off a cliff.
How does Superman get drunk? How does his metabolism get affected by the same by alcohol?
How do so many things about Superman work?
Trace amount.
Mm-hmm.
There's a trace amount of kryptonite.
Bullshit.
Yeah, it's an absinthe, actually.
Oh, it's an absinthe.
Yeah, there's a little bit in there with the wormwood, and you have a little of that
over a green
fairy.
Yeah. So kryptonite is just like crystallized absinthe.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Let's
take a short break.
Should we take a short break? Let's take a short break. I hope, all you Shreether heads out there, you've finished.
Your business,
and you're ready just to kind of enjoy some intellectual conversation. Mm-hmm. So let's take a short break and come back, and all you other
cuddle up,
yeah, cuddle up, cuddle up, yeah, grab a book. Yeah. See ya, bye.
Bye.